Father's Day to everyone out there. You know, this is not what it's normally like, but we're having a great time. We had some very interesting services this morning. So I would just encourage you, we're going to try to lead worship as best as we can, maybe shout out some words to you. Feel free to engage in whichever way you want to. If you want to stand, if you want to sit, that is fine. This is a very interesting day just all around. How many of you guys are from Orville and have no power? All right. Glad you guys made it here. Even on time, too. Is there anything else I was supposed to say? No? All right. Let's engage in some worship. This first song is called Hosanna. If you don't know the verses, that's okay. The chorus is really simple. It's just Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
I see the King of glory.
Thank you. King of Glory, you are the King of this universe, who created us, you're the author and perfecter of our lives, of our faith. God, let us say thanks. Lord, we want to right now lift up our heads and open up the gates so that you can actively be a part of our lives. We choose that, God. We open up the gates, the doors. Lord, this morning, would you teach us? Would you walk alongside of us? Would we see you, hear you, and know you? And more than anything else, would we simply say that we trust you? God, we want to give our worship everything that we are. We want to give our offering to you. We want to give back to you. Thank you, God, for providing for us in amazing ways. And so we give back in honor. Lord, if there's anything we can do this morning to bring honor to you, we want to do that. We pray this offering will do that as well. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to share with you this morning, we're moving into a new series called The Fight, and that we're engaged in this battle. And as we share about that, worship team is bringing us a new song we'll be using during this series. In Isaiah 54, it says that there isn't any weapon, there isn't anything that's fashioned that will come against us, that we have the power of God in our lives, and He's walking with us. And so as you hear this song, if you know it, you're welcome to sing along, but they're going to do this for us in preparation for the work of
thank you.
We're just talking back and forth for a moment there. This has been a very unique morning for us. I want to tell you exactly what happened. This morning we're talking about the fight, the battle that we're a part of. And I was getting into the message part and talking about we have an enemy, right? He has power, but he's not that powerful. And the lights start blinking, right? People are starting to look at me, you know. And I said a little bit more, and kind of everything comes back on a little further. And then about halfway through, the power goes out. You know, and the first service gets all jacked, like, man, the enemy's trying to get us, but we're gonna beat that down, and it was fun. I want you to know, if this is your first time with us, that we're not weird. Thanks for being here. We don't handle snakes, we don't do things like that. Glad that you're with us, and really it's been fun this morning to be a part of just something very unique. Here's how I want to start out this morning. I know that there's things that you value, and I would ask you, what are the things that you value the greatest? What are the things that you put the highest value on? When it comes down to it, what's most important? Because I believe what you value, you're willing to fight for. And so if you say you value something, but you're not fighting for it, you don't really value it. But I know there's things that we value that we will fight for. Our families, our homes, our spouses, our children, our parents, our friends, schools, neighborhood, community, our country. I believe that the Lord is even impressing upon us that we're growing in this. We just got done with Jonah, the book of Jonah, and God impressed upon Jonah that he was to care and value even those he didn't know yet, even his enemies. And so he was learning to value. I think we're learning to value even those who don't yet know Jesus Christ. We value, I believe, our relationship with God as well. I believe all those things we're willing to fight for. We need to learn to fight for. We need to learn to value them to the level that we will fight for what is worthwhile. And I want to say this morning, Happy Mother's Day, number one, Happy Mother's Day. And I just want to thank you, moms in this room, for fighting for us. For your kids, for your husbands, for kids maybe that are down the street and it doesn't seem like there's much of a home, you fight for them. I just want to say thank you so much for fighting for us. You fight with your love for us. You fight by getting on us. I just want to say thanks, Mom, for getting on us. We need it, okay? I told my mom in first service, she comes here, I said, Mom, I wish you had told me to pick my socks up more so my wife wouldn't have to say it so much, right? But Mom's thanks for getting on us. Thanks for helping us see what's important. I'm grateful, Moms, that you fight for us. You have like this mom radar, and you know when something's not, you know, quite right, and you kind of get on it like, no, but the truth is, you know, and so thanks for speaking out. Moms, thank you for praying for us. I know that you do that, so thank you. In this series that we're doing, I want us to get to the place that we recognize that there is a fight, there's a battle that we can't see, and then ultimately, as we learn some things about it, as maybe we learn some tools, and how to understand ourselves, and how to take this battle on, that we'll engage in this battle for real, because when we do, it makes a difference. I hope that I can help motivate you. I hope God's Spirit will help motivate you to behave and to be differently. I want to look at some truth in this. Ephesians chapter 6, if you have your Bibles with you, I think there's enough light to see. Ephesians chapter 6. And as we get there, I want you to know the Apostle Paul wrote this, and he wrote a bunch of great things in this book. He talked about what Jesus Christ has done for us, and how when we trust him, it changes our life, it brings new life and salvation. He writes several things. He talks about the peace we experience as we trust Christ. He talks about unity in believers, about doing the right thing, about being the light. He talks about relationship between husband and wife and children and parents. And then it gets to chapter 6, and he's closing the book. I'm going to read out of the NLT, but he's closing the book up. This is his final word. He said all those great things, and Paul knows in order to see those great things happen in our lives, the things that God wants, it's a fight. It's a battle. So here's the words he closes this book with. Ephesians 6, start with verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith, stop the fiery arrows of the devil. To put on salvation as a helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for every believer everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. I am in chains now. I'm still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly of Him as I should. You know, this passage makes something really clear to us, and the clarity for me is this. There is a fight. There's a fight. There's a battle. Paul is calling it out. All these things that God has for us, there's a fight for it. And if anybody has the right to talk about a battle, it's Paul, who's been out sharing this truth of God, and as a result, he's in jail, right? He's not in jail because he was shoplifting or doing something wrong or this or that. He's in jail because and for the sake of Christ. And when I see that, I recognize that he's got the authority to talk about this. And as he speaks, even though he's in jail, he has this attitude that we're destined to win, right? We're not doomed to lose this. God's in charge of it. There's a battle. There's a fight. And it's very real. There's something he says in here that's absolutely key for us as believers to understand. There is a fight, right? He says it clearly. There is a fight, but it's not with people. It's so easy for us as we get embroiled in chaos and controversy and different things in relationship with one another. We've got to understand the enemy is never another person. I don't care if they're a believer or not a believer. I don't care how they treated you. They're not your enemy. There is a battle, but it's not against flesh and blood. It's crucial to understand because Satan, what he wants to do is instigate situations, and then he wants us to war with each other and leave him out of the equation. He wants us to battle one another, but Paul makes it clear. There's a battle, but we don't fight each other. We need to fight that real enemy. When you think about this battle, there's two mistakes that we make as believers. One is that we ignore it, and the other is that we put way too much emphasis on it. I want to read a quote by C.S. Lewis. He wrote this. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about. I'm sorry, in which our people can fall into. One is to disbelieve the existence of the devil. The other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. So there's these two sides we can go with this. And generally speaking, we go to this side of ignoring. But let me talk real quick about moving to this side that we give way too much emphasis. Because as we talk about this, as we talk about the enemy, as we talk about the battle, I want you to know the place that he fits. You see, Jesus Christ gave his life up. He was dead. He was raised from the dead by the power of Jesus Christ. Why? Because sin has been defeated. And evil has been defeated. And we need to be aware of this battle. We need to be aware of our enemy. But we don't want to elevate our enemy. We don't want to elevate Satan to the place that he's equal with God, because he's not. You know, this battle that we're in, we've been in. All of our existence as humanity, we've been in this. Because it started this way. At one point, it was God. He created everything in perfection. And Lucifer, one of his key angels, one of his highest ranking, his angel that was in charge of worship and glorifying God, he came to the place that he felt that I belong in the place of God. And as he stepped into that and wanted to have that, God said, that can't be. And so God casts him out of heaven. Lucifer and a third of the angels become Satan and all the demons. And God and all of his angels, this is the war that we find ourselves in. And some of you in here, you might go, you know, the Jesus stuff's okay, but this battle thing seems a little funky. You know, there's a lot of things that we can't see. There's a lot of things that we can't see, but it doesn't mean they're not real. And look around this room. What can you see? You know, you see stage, speakers, sound stuff, whatever. There's many, many things in this room that are happening right now that you don't see. And I could, if I put some batteries in my radio, I'm just going to use the radio this morning, but plugging it in, it's not happening right now. And I started to turn that radio on, I could tune it. And what could I tune it to? Station after station after station. Meaning what? That there's radio waves coming into this room right now. All I have to do is get something that will receive. This room is full of waves. TV, radio, you name it. There's all kinds of things happening. We can't see it, but it's happening. And I'm telling you, the spiritual battle is that same way. There are things going on that we don't see and understand. And as we talk about this in this series, I'm not interested in defining all those things because there's a lot of unknowns there. What I'm interested in defining is what the enemy is trying to do to us and how we can battle that. So there's a fight. It's not with people. Right? Sometimes when we elevate this evil up too high, what we get is an unrealistic picture or a wrong picture of what evil really is. I want to give you just a couple seconds. I'm going to give you two different words. I'll give you 3 or 4 seconds just to get a mental picture in your mind, okay? So here's the first word. You ready? I want you to get a mental picture. I'm going to say demons. What are you thinking? You're probably seeing something that's a little freaky, a little scary. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to mess with that and produce fear, right? Let me give you a second word. I want you to think. Angels. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, you're thinking something fluffy right now. All right? And I had a couple pictures for you. I'll just tell you what they were. I think that oftentimes as believers, when we think of that word angel, what we get in our mind is that precious moment statue with the little wings and holding some kind of little bell or something. Okay? We see that. And you know, if you have precious moments, I'm really cool with that. Unless you're a guy who collects them. We should talk after service, okay? But the first picture, we get in our mind that an angel is this very timid, fluffy little creature with wings, very nice. But the reality, when I look at scripture of what an angel is, my second picture would be a Navy SEAL. Alright? A Marine Ranger. Army Ranger, whichever they are. That's what an angel is. When you read scripture, you see power. You see every time they show up, people are trembling, they're afraid. They fall to the ground, they don't know what to do next. And somehow, if we're not careful, we elevate the power of evil to a place that we think that's where the power is, but it's not. The power is in God and His creation, who He is, His angels. So mistake one is we can elevate it too much. But mistake two is the bigger mistake. We ignore it. You know, that whole idea, ignorance is bliss, I'd rather not know about it. If I know about it, I have to do something. But evil is made manifest in this world. There's no question. We see that part, but then we don't want to engage in the battle. How do we see that? Well, it's in bombing instead of marathon, where innocent people die. You get to see evil personified. Right? It's in a man who has 3 young girls in his house for 10 years enslaved. It's evil. It's in schools where somebody chooses to open fire and shoot innocent kids. Not just high schoolers they're mad at, but kindergartners. That's evil personified. There's a battle going on. Sometimes we just want to ignore it. But the battle's clear. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. The enemy, though, wants to steal and kill and destroy. I say that verse all the time. Memorize that verse. John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. And we see some of those things personified. We see how awful they are, what it can lead to. But I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. If I would define the battle that we're in, it's a spiritual battle, and I would define it this way. It's either the pursuit of new life, or it's living in death and decay. There's this, we have to decide what part of this battle we're going to be in. Are we pursuing new life, or are we just living in apathy and a death and a decay? Pursuing new life, what is it? It means when we understand what Jesus Christ has done for us, who He is, He changes our life. It's salvation, it's coming to know Him, but it's also every time He shares something new with us, we learn something new spiritually, He brings us alive again. It's pursuing that new life. And who's it for? It's for us. We need to pursue it. We need to run to it. That's the battle, is pursuing that new life and leaving that death behind. But we pursue it for ourselves so that we can share it with our family. We can share it with those who are closest to us. We can share it with those we don't even know yet. We pursue that new life. There's a battle that's happening. 1 Peter 5:8, don't have a screen, so you need to be my screen, right? Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know, it's clear we're in this battle, but we like to ignore it because it's easier. Because if you understand it's there, then you begin to say, what's my role in it? What part do I play? You know, as we read in the Ephesians scripture, it was clear too. It said your enemy has a plan, scheme, right? A strategy in the version that I read. The enemy has a strategy, and I want to talk about that just for a moment. What is that strategy? Well, I think it's taking the number one thing that God said to us and trying to reverse it. That's a strategy. So So people came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? What's the most important thing I should do? And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your soul and mind, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And does that happen externally? Is that things that we do? Or is it something that God changes us from within? We start to understand who he is, what he's about. And as a result, we do different things. It's internal. And so where's this battle taking place? This battle is taking place within us. And the enemy, Satan, he wants to come into what the thoughts that God's given us and saying, man, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. What the enemy does is he wants to attack our heart and our soul and our mind. The majority of the spiritual battle happens right here and right here. You know those thoughts. You know the thoughts in the head, right, that come to you when you're going to accomplish something or do something that you can't do it or these things come. And if you're saying right now you don't know what the thoughts in the head are, the voice in the head, well, that's the voice in the head. That's the one that's telling you that you don't know what it is, right? There's a voice in the head. And the enemy wants to use that and say you're not good enough, you don't have what it takes. The enemy's strategy is to attack our heart, our mind, and our soul, and it's a battle that we fight from within. Let me give an example of what that looks like. I just met with a couple. They've been married about 6 months now, and I love meeting after the couple's married because all of a sudden there's just a new reality in their face, right? There's a new reality in their life about marriage and love and all those things. And I always say, how you doing? And usually everybody's honest with me. And they give me we've learned some new things about each other, right? We're struggling a little bit here. But in this particular meeting, the husband said that. And right away he said, but you know what? My wife is she's the perfect woman for me. I love her. She's beautiful. I couldn't have asked for anything better. I love marriage. It's great. And the wife was sitting there, and I looked over at her, and she looked at me, and she said, it's really hard for me to believe that. That's the battle that rages within us. That God is speaking life into us, maybe through somebody else or through his spirit to us, and what it's hard for us to receive it. It's hard for us to know that we're the masterpiece of God, that he's got plans for us, that he wants these things for us. What we hear oftentimes is I'm not good enough, or I don't have what it takes, I'm not beautiful enough, I'm not like this. We go through this time in our life when we're struggling, and what we're doing is comparing all of our behind-the-scenes life with other people's highlight reels, right? You look at other people's life, and you're like, man, they look like they're doing good, it looks great. We're comparing their highlight reel with our behind-the-scenes. We say, I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. And I'm going to tell you, that's the battle that we need to fight, each and every week. I want to share with you, I have an assignment for you. Seriously, I want you to go and do this. You need to see this video. I'm sure we'll have it up on Facebook. You can find the Living Water FMC Facebook page. But the video is a Dove commercial, and it's about real beauty. So if you type in Dove real beauty, you're going to find this. But I want to describe to you what happens, because again, it personifies what I'm talking about. There is a woman, there's several women, and they have an assignment. They have a job. They're coming into a room, and as they walk in the room, they sit in the seat, and there's a blinder up. And they're supposed to sit in that chair and describe themselves. On the other side of the blinder is a sketch artist for, like, the police, you know, who take down the description of the bad guy so they can figure out who he is and get that out there. He's on the other side. So she begins to describe herself and what she's like, and paints that picture, and talks about who she is and what she looks like. He draws the picture. She leaves. Someone else comes in the room, and it was their assignment to talk to this woman for about 45 minutes, get to know her a little bit, look at her features, look at who she is, and describe that woman to the sketch artist. So the woman describes herself, she leaves, somebody she just met for 45 minutes comes in and describes. She describes, the sketch artist draws it, there's two pictures that are left. And what happens is amazing, because you look at those two pictures and you see one woman who is sad and broken looking and unattractive in every way. And there's another picture where she's got life on her face and it looks much more like her. And it's a beautiful picture and the eyes have life and all of those pieces. And what happens is the woman who described herself, she described the sad picture. And the friend or the new friend who described it, there's this incredible picture of who she is. It really matches where she's at. Most important part of this video, that you got to see it, is when the woman comes back in and sees those two sketches side by side. You can just see her poor face start to change. Because she realizes that she's been walking through life seen herself as somebody who's less than, somebody who's ugly, somebody who's beat up, somebody who's broken. That's not the truth of who she is. And it's powerful. And it relates so much to the truth that we're in, men and women both. We don't see the value that God has placed in us. And we let the enemy whisper in our ear and say, you don't have it, you don't have it, you don't have it. I shared this before in different settings, but it happens to me. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give this message, and you know what gets whispered in my ear? That message is really stupid. Why on earth would you stand up there and even talk about it? In fact, don't waste Ross's time. Be done early so we can go home and get lunch. There's all kinds of voices that, no, that's not it. That's not it. Women, I want to tell you today, mothers especially, I want to tell you something really important as I talk about this. Moms, you're beautiful. Moms, you have stuff to offer that no one else has. Moms, don't walk out of this place without knowing what we feel about you. You are amazing to us. I don't want any woman in this room to ever sit down at a sketchboard and describe themselves as this ugly, homely, broken person, because moms, you're not. You're beautiful. So when we share stuff with you as husbands or as kids, receive it because we mean it. You're beautiful. You know, there was a second skit video that was done, and this time they had men come in to describe themselves to the sketch artist. And as the men came in, they described themselves to the sketch artist, and they said things like, my mom said I had beautiful eyes, right? And they said, I have a strong chin, and you know, I've got some bulge here. And they're saying all these things, and they walk through this, and then there's a second person that they just met, usually a woman who comes in and describes him really for what he is, right? And the sketch artist draws these things, and the men come up, and they look at their picture on one side where the man describes himself. There's Brad Pitt and George Clooney. Here's this ugly dude, right? He's real disappointed that it's not what he thinks. It's fun. You need to look at both those videos. But I say that to say, Satan wants to sneak in and say these things. The battle is within us. He wants to steal and kill and destroy this love and this hope and this peace that God gives us, that we're to love God with everything that we've got. And he'll steal that by beating you up, or he'll steal that by puffing you up, right? He can steal that either way. He can steal it through arrogance and pride and saying you're better than you are, and you think you deserve to be able to say racist statements because your race is better, or your thing is better, or your school is better, whatever it is. Or he'll beat you up by saying that you're not good enough. You know, that's a soap commercial, right? So as long as you buy Dove soap, everything's cool. I mean, you're good to go. I'm glad that we've got more hope than that. Because Jesus Christ provides that for us. Because you know what? In our broken humanity, all by ourselves, we are beat up and we're lost. But through his sacrifice and his blood and what he did for us on the cross, we're made whole again. We are his masterpiece. We are his people. We're forgiven and healthy, and we've got that to count on. I want to share with you just a couple things that we want to run through in this series, some things that I want to bring out. Again, my hope is that you understand, number one, the reality that there is a battle, all right? And number two, that you will decide to engage in that battle because it can change everything. Here's our enemy, Satan's greatest tools. He's got three things that he uses. One is deception, to hide the truth from us, to keep us in the dark, to keep us understanding or thinking that these lies that we would believe are true. Deception is one. Another one is temptation. Temptation isn't about doing something bad or being tempted to do something bad. Temptation is about taking us away from the purpose that God has made us for, to take us away from that. And here's the third one Satan uses, accusation. Look at who you were. Look at what you're doing. He accuses us. We're going to talk about those things. But more than anything, as we work through this, I want to have us come to the place where we are engaging in this fight. A couple things that we'll talk about as we engage. Worship team, you guys can come up this way. A couple things. I want to live in agreement with what this book says. Because here's the reality. Most of us, and I put myself at the front of the line, you know what we live in agreement with? We live in agreement with what we understand and what we've experienced and what we think is the truth. Even as believers. The reality is we believe in our experience or what we think is going to happen more than what this book says about who we are. It's a huge key to winning this battle, is living in truth. Another is living with purpose. God has given you a calling. God has given you things to do that are incredibly important. To join a vision that's larger than yourself, to accomplish kingdom things or big things. And when we have that, then we've got a reason to fight. And there's something I want to call living water to in this series and the next one that we do. Living water, we haven't been very good at praying, at going before God. Praying wins the battle. Talking to Him. I'm just talking about prayer before you go to bed when you fall asleep, but a prayer with passion. Because you've got a purpose. There's truth. There's things that you're passionate about that we really begin to pray. You know, as I think about this battle we're engaged in, I just want to share this final thought with you. We have a trump card in this battle, the most important piece in this battle. It isn't knowing our enemy's game plan, although that's very important, because, by the way, if you know the game plan, then you can whip your enemy. You know, if you sneak in and you get their game plan, Bill Belichick, right? You sneak in and steal somebody's game plan or their calls or their plays for the game, you know what they're doing, you can whip them. So we'll look at that game plan, but there's a bigger trump card than that. And the trump card is that we have an open and pure heart before God, that we're His. I want to share with you real quickly something that happened this week. That was incredible. We're in a meeting together, church people, right? Leaders, great people. And as we're in this meeting together, we're sharing about who God is and what He has for our lives and that we want to honor Him as leaders. And as we talked about that, one of the leaders spoke up and they did something that is so unheard of in leadership circles within a church or anywhere. And he said, you know what? There's something I got to say. There's something in my heart and my life that's not right. And I know it's holding me back and my family and the church, and I want to make it right. He understood that he was in a battle, and he understood that the key to the battle is for him to be open and transparent before God. And here's what he said. He said, I have an addiction. And this addiction is destroying my life and my family. He said, I have an addiction to pornography. And as he confessed that, as he got right before God, things started to change. And we prayed for him and we walked through that. And here's what I believe about that. Because he was honest before God and real before God and transparent before God, it is changing what is happening in his life, his family's life, this church, anything that he's a part of. Because the greatest weapon we have in this battle is an open, real, and true heart before God. It starts with our faith in Jesus Christ. He gives us purpose. He gives us identity. He gives us life. I want you to be part of the battle. Men, as you honor your wives today, or moms, or whatever it looks like, kids, as you do that, I'm sure every mom in here will be thankful for whatever you cook, even if it's a hot dog, you know? She didn't have to do it, right? And she doesn't have to clean up. She didn't have to do anything today. I'm sure she appreciates that. But I got to tell you something. I know what women and moms in this church want. They want a man, and they want children who will stand up and fight for what's right, that will engage in the battle. Men, it's too easy for us to be passive. It's too easy for us to be apathetic and let things go. Women want men who will fight. They want kids who will fight for what's right and the values that are right in their home. That's what they want. And so have a great day today, but know this, your moms want you to engage in the battle. Let's respond in worship. I want to invite you. Would you stand with me right now? God, we want to engage in this battle. We want to be your people. Lead us forward.
to proclaim that only through Jesus Christ do we have the power to have freedom to break all the chains off of us this morning.
Power in the name of Jesus.
God, we come before you. You are all-powerful, God, Jesus. You died on the cross so we have victory over death and over sin and over the things that hold us back. So now we know.